Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Now, it's time to go inside the green room with Danny Green.
What's good, everybody? Welcome into Inside the Green Room with Danny Green.
Cheer.
I'm Harrison Sanford. You already know the vibes. If you follow us on your podcast apps, you can watch us on YouTube. If you watch us on YouTube, you can listen to us on any podcast app that you use. Today, we are going to predict what happens in the Western Conference, the sixth seed to the 11th seed. Will the Suns miss the playoffs? I think there's a chance. We'll talk about that later. We're also going to catch up with some things that happening in the world of college basketball. Danny will give his predictions for who makes it to the Final Four. And we're going to talk about Draymond Green and Steph Curry from Wednesday night. But before we get to that, Danny, how you doing, my friend? I know you've been moving up left and right, one side of the country to the other side of the country. What's going on, my friend? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing all right. It's just a lot of movement. It's a busy month, which is good. You know, you want to be busy. Working the games, checking out the games, got our own games with the Throne, the tournament, the high school tournament, high school national championship, which was dope. I got back to LA from delays around 3 a.m. last night, and then it's going to be on ESPN later today. So just a lot of moving pieces, man, but it's good stuff. If you're a basketball fan, you love it. If you're a fan of the game and you want to cover it and want to be around it. And then, of course, Carolina plays tonight out here in LA, so I'm going to be there.
Yes, indeedy. As you should. It's only right, my friend. Danny, today I'm a little bit low on energy, but I must say it's a good damn day. You know why, Danny?
Why is that?
They say it takes 21 days to create a habit. And today, today is day number 22 of at least an hour in the gym. At least 30 minutes of yoga, at least 45 minutes of Spanish lessons, at least 5 minutes a day praying to the man above. Danny, I feel so good. I've been getting my spiritual wins, my mental wins, and my physical wins on a daily basis. I have grown a new habit. I feel like $1 million, dog.
Yeah, that's dope, man. Proud of you, man. Said it's all. Most of life is how you feel, right? It's not about what other people think. How you feel about yourself, the habits, and the mental part, especially as you get older. So if you're in that space, man, it's dope, especially in the later 30s now. And hopefully these habits continue and build into the 40s and 50s, then you stay young forever. You know, it'll keep you young.
Yeah, for sure. I was actually talking to somebody yesterday, Danny, and you and I kind of talked about this too. So let me look at my calendar here. Since March 14th, I am now down 12 pounds. Ah. We're not even at the end of the month yet, dog. We're not even at the end of the month yet. And I'm
looking thinner over there.
More importantly, I'm also down 3.5% body fat. I'm trying to get down to 18. I'm still over 20, and I don't like that. Now that I know it, I don't like it. So I got to get down to like 18. Once I get to 18, we reassess what we got going on, and then we try to get down a little bit more. I don't think I can hit like 12. That's a little ridiculous for me.
Yeah,
I don't want to look too skinny.
Yeah, you have the bobblehead. Nah, you crazy. You got to make sure the body fits the face and everything. You know what I'm saying? But you looking thinner over there, looking healthy, looking good, but you don't want to be skinny as hell with the big-ass bobblehead. Like, nah, it'll look crazy.
Nah, I got to – I don't want people accusing me of taking Ozempic, bro.
That's actually a compliment, though. That would be a compliment. Like, you think that's how hard you've been working. You know what I'm saying? People thinking you're getting surgery or shots. Either you have done something done to your body, you're getting shots, or you're cheating it. If people think you're cheating it, that means you're doing some impressive work.
Yeah, man. It feels good. It feels good. With that being said, let's talk about the world of basketball. And we'll start with what happened in Orlando last night. Man, oh, man. Draymond Green ejected from the game within 4 minutes, beefing with the referee yet again. And obviously, we already know Draymond's history dealing with referees and getting ejected from the game. I think what stood out the most, Danny, about Draymond Green's ejection last night was the way Steph Curry reacted.
Yeah.
It felt like he was, I mean, I don't think it's out the realm of possibility to suggest he was in tears. He was literally shaken up by Draymond Green getting ejected in the game, a pivotal game as they're trying to hold on to that last play-in spot with the Rockets on their bumper. Rockets won again last night. We'll talk about them later on in the show. But man, Danny, what did you take of? I got so many questions. What did you take of that situation, though?
Man, I said, at first I didn't believe it when I was watching it, and people were showing these highlights, and I'm like, Steph seems a little bit emotional, upset. I don't think he was crying. But when you watch the clip, it's like, yeah, it's because it was right after that, and it did seem out of character for anybody, let alone Steph. But that, to me, just meant and showed me that what Draymond's ejection, the bigger picture, that there's something else behind the scenes going on that he knows that we don't know about, that is probably going to affect him and in the group. I don't know if they had a talk with Draymond saying, you get suspended again, you're gone. Or, you know, if you get suspended again, we're breaking the team up. I don't know what the conversation was. I'm sure whatever the conversation was, Steph knows about it, and he knows that this is the start of something probably bad coming. And that's the only thing I can assume. And maybe it was something else. Maybe he had something he was dealing with off the court with his family. Hopefully it's not, you know. But the reaction right after that of him being disappointed, that upset with his teammates, it just let me further believe that there was something more behind the scenes in the bigger picture that was going to happen soon that he was not happy about.
Yeah, I mean, also, too, like, I guess there could definitely be something deeper. But if you just even just look at the standings, if you're Steph Curry, regarded as one of the best players of all time, not just shooters, one of the best players of all time. I think he's what, 36? You're coming towards the end of your career. You want to make sure every season counts. Whether you're having a great year or a bad year, you want to at least give yourself an opportunity to be in the playoffs. And the way it stands, Danny, there's no guarantee they're going to even be in the play-in because of the way the Rockets are. So if I'm Steph Curry and my career, my legacy, the end of my career is dependent upon the availability of Draymond Green, and he's thinks it's so important. He thinks it's so important to beef with the referee that he would jeopardize being in the game or being out of the game just to get his jollies off at the ref. I'm Steph Curry. I'm like, yo, bro, like, who cares? And yeah. Maybe the ref had the wrong call. Maybe you and the ref don't get along. Mm-hmm. But bro, it's the bigger picture here. We're not we're not 25, 26. This could be our last chance to even be in the playoffs. So what are you doing? I would be so frustrated because Draymond, it's like you could say, yes, everybody gets frustrated with referees. But at what are you winning at this point if you're Draymond? You
curse out the referee.
What do you get? What are you profiting out of this situation? Nothing.
They're not going to change the call. I think some people just need that, and some referees are not going to give you that. You're right, and I'm wrong, or I made the wrong call. And I think he feels like he needs that. You know what I'm saying? Like, he needs, like, yo, you're wrong. Tell me you're wrong, type of thing. And if he doesn't, and, you know, some of the things are just, referees can be sensitive at times. And, you know, it's a little bit of back and forth. And I think as he was walking away, you know, he called him a name. I think that's why he got the second technical.
Yep.
And he heard it. And I think Draymond was trying to say it under his breath or just away from him, you know, just letting his anger out. And some people are just emotional. He has to let his emotions – he wears his emotions on his sleeves. He has to let his venting and anger out. I don't think he's trying to direct it always at the refs. But if he's walking away and just saying some things, you know, it's him just letting his anger out, not trying to direct it at, you know, like he was in the ref's face saying, yo – You know what I'm saying? Bleep, 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 that type of thing, like cussing him out. He's cussing as he's walking away. So that, to me, also was a little bit petty on the ref side. But I said, you can't chance it in the bigger picture, man, in the bigger sense of things. And they're not younger anymore. You're not going to win. They're not going to change the call. So at a certain point, as you get older, you kind of just got to accept it and move forward. Ask what this issue was, tell them what you thought, and then keep it moving. You got to win game. You got to keep playing a game. So I agree with you, man, but Draymond's Draymond. He's not going to be anybody different for anybody.
And it's hard. Go ahead.
He's going to have to change a little bit, which he's tried to. And you've seen it in other instances where he's gotten into a Memphis and they're trying to antagonize him, get under his skin, and people know and playing the game with him. But he has, it's a process, bro. So it takes 21 days to change habits. And he's been doing it for some time, so he's changed some habits. But, to make it a drastic change, he probably has to do another 21 days.
Yeah, it's like I do 21 days and 21 days and 21 days for sure. Yeah. Nah, it's good, and it's going to be tough too, because even with that, he has been rewarded financially. Next year, he's on payroll for $24 million. The year after that, $25 million. The year after that, player option for $27 million. Leads me to believe he's going to cash in on that one at the age of 36. And it's interesting too, Danny, because it's clear that this same Warriors team, if they are intent to reaching their championship days again, they can't come back like they did next year. And that might mean shipping out Draymond. But again, with that contract and his lack of overall skills in some way, shapes, and form, he's going to be hard to move. And the Golden State Warriors don't even have a first-round draft pick this year to potentially help facilitate him moving. They might lose Klay. Mike Dunleavy does not have an easy job. Mike Dunleavy does not, and you understand why Bob Myers got up out of there, because it is not going to be easy to remix this team.
For sure. And things may be different if Bob was there, but I think he might have saw some of these things happening. I do feel for Mike Dunleavy, but we will get to the other part of the show of their playoff chances and who I picked.
Yes, we will.
To make the play-in and who's going to be in the playoffs, because somebody's not going to be in the playoffs between Bron, Steph, KD, and that's Sacramento, nuts. I believe. So it's going to be kind of crazy. But between those three, all three of those guys should be in the playoffs. We need them in there. It'd be great to have and watch them. But somebody's not making the playoffs. And the way Golden State is shaping up, I think you can guess who I'm going to pick.
Yeah, understand that for sure.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, let's get to another hot topic in the world of basketball. This time we'll go to the amateur game and I guess the pro game, because the big league is a pro league, or something along those lines. Anyways, Ice Cube has confirmed a report that says the Big Three has offered Caitlin Clark, the Iowa star, $5 million to play in the Big Three this year. Danny, that's a lot of money. I know it'll be hard for me to turn down. Now, here's a little thing that makes it interesting. With the WNBA, which Caitlin Clark is more than likely going to be in this summer as the number one pick going to the Indiana Fever, with the WNBA and the way their CBA is constructed, you cannot play in another league while you're in the WNBA. So here's Caitlin Clark's dilemma. I can go to the Big Three, forfeit the opportunity to play in the WNBA and help grow the women's game there. However, I can go to the Big Three, cash out $5 million, and then assess what I do from there. She could play overseas. She could obviously just work out on her game. She could maybe make it so that the Big Three forms a women's league. She could help with that facilitation of that. She's not going to be wanting for money, but there's a difference between $5 million from the Big Three, Danny, and I think the highest paid woman in the WNBA is like $300,000. Definitely not more than $500,000.
No,
as the highest salary in the WNBA.
Well, the coaches, Becky might have the highest.
Oh, Becky as a coach. Yeah, Becky as a coach, yeah, she's making bread. But as players, they don't get paid a lot.
No, I think the highest salary ever in history, I think, was way back. It might have been Candace Parker, but with endorsements included. I'm gonna go look this up right now. I think it might have been close to $1 million with the endorsements included. But yes, she has hell of a platform. She's put herself in an unbelievable position.
I'll give it to you, Danny. Before you go, Danny, Arika Ongbu. I don't want to butcher her name. She's a bucket getter. Arika Ungabuwale, I believe it is, from the Dallas Wings. She's absolute bucket. She's making $241,000. She's the highest paid player in the league, Danny. And as I said, $5 million. Mm-hmm. What would Danny Green do in this situation?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. You know, because she could get that for the – she can get that check, which is that it could be off brand for her. You know, you have to do is stay true to you. Do what makes sense to you. For me, let's say I would
if it don't make money. It don't make sense, Danny.
For sure, for some. But for me, it said she's a young girl and always played NBA, and somebody else offered $5 million. That wasn't my brand outside of the NBA. I don't know if I would take it, but it's a tough decision, and I'm glad I'm not in her shoes. So with that being said, I said she could do that $5 million because most of the women playing overseas is a grind, especially for them and for some other people, unless you're in the like really good country and having the good food and they're taking good care of you and you're treating you like a superstar. It's not the easiest adjustment. She doesn't have to do anything after that. She can go to $5 million and wait till next year to play in the WNBA if she wanted to, because I don't know if that's a reoccurring thing. So yeah, there'd probably be just a 1 year deal with the big three, and then she'll just wait and just play the following year. But I was crazy enough. I was just on the board. We were talking with some of the women's women's side of the W, because at the throne we have the first year with the women's the girls. We had 16 mm-hmm. teams. Actually, we have 8 teams, and we had a panel. We had we had some great people. We had Jordan, Sophie, Dejanay. I don't want to butcher names. I know Sophie Cunningham. I don't want to butcher all their names. But they were just speaking of how the grind was and how it was overseas. And just and Terry Jackson, Jaren Jackson's mother, who became like a second mother to me in Memphis. She was very warm, welcoming, and was just great. And she's on the board and trying to get them what they're supposed to be paid and help with their endorsements. And so they don't have to play overseas if they don't want to. So yeah, we had a great discussion about it yesterday, and you know, overseas is tough, and just the league is tough. So that's money she'll never see in the W. It'll take a long time for her to earn that in the W. Even said a lot of girls, that's why they're staying in college now. NIL deals are just so much with less responsibilities of having to pay bills. So she has a decision to make. It's a tough one. I don't see her doing it playing with grown men. Some of them, as you've seen, might take it personally, mm-hmm. and. They might be out to get her. I don't know. I mean, obviously, some of them might be offended because some of them might not be getting paid $5 million for playing in it. And some of them feel like they are bigger names or deserve that money. And because I guess maybe she just brings a different draw. But for her to play with grown men is not the safest thing, especially grown men that might be jealous of you or that might be, you know, not too happy with you and have a point to prove. So, yeah. Is the $5 million worth it? Maybe, probably so, but it's just a dangerous, it's a slippery slope that, you know, those waters are not the easiest to tread water, like to be swimming in.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'll tell you this, Danny, if I was her, I would give serious thought to, okay, I'm going to play it for 1 year, and then I'm going to hope that mm-hmm. the Los Angeles Sparks or the New York Liberty somehow have the number one pick, and I'll be the number one pick next year as a member of the Los Angeles Sparks, the second biggest media market in the world, or the New York Liberty. That's how I would think about playing it. End of the day, though, I think I'd have to go to the WNBA. But man, that is $5 million ain't nothing to sniff at, bro.
It is not.
It is not. All right, let's talk about the college basketball game on the men's side now. This is Sweet 16, Elite Eight weekend. Danny mentioned he's already going to be in the building tonight for North Carolina versus Alabama. I'm looking forward to that Illinois and Iowa State game Thursday night. I think UConn's going to absolutely trash San Diego State. The Clemson-Arizona game is definitely interesting as well. Those are Thursday night's games. On Friday, March 29th. We are going to also have, if my computer would just load. Come on, computer. Do you want to load?
While you're loading.
We also have NC State. NC State versus Marquette, Gonzaga versus Purdue, Duke versus Houston. That's a good one. And Creighton versus Tennessee, another really good one. I'm upset about these start times, Danny. There's absolutely no way a pivotal Sweet 16 game should be played 10 p.m. Eastern on a Friday night, but that's the type of cards we're being dealt. With that being said, how do you think it all ends up? Who are you going to see? Who are the final four teams you're going to see when you go to Phoenix?
Man, Carolina, for sure. My boys, I think they're going to get it done and get there. Now, getting out of the final four is the tough part, but UConn, they're looking good. I'm just hoping somebody knocks them off. I'm hoping Illinois gets them. I like Marquette. And I mean, I picked Purdue, but I just don't know if they're going to get it done. I think Tennessee might get out of that bracket. So, and I haven't been able to look at a bracket in a little while.
So you got,
yes.
So you got so that Duke Houston matchup, who do you have winning?
That's a tough one. I think I want to see Houston. I want to see Houston win, but the way they played their last game, I don't know if they're going to get that win. I said, but coming out of that bracket for the Final Four, I think Marquette comes out.
Okay, so you got Houston, Tennessee, UConn, and North Carolina. I agree with the Tennessee pick. I guess I agree with Marquette now. I was worried about Tyler Kolek, but he looked fairly decent in his first two games after being really out with injury. Yeah, and then North Carolina, I agree with you there, and UConn, I agree with you there. Even though I think Illinois and Terrence Shannon Jr. and give them a run for their money. Should be a fun weekend when we come back on Tuesday morning on your podcast feeds. We will break down everything we saw over the weekend. And, of course, we'll stay intact with the NBA. Speaking of which, it's time to talk about the play-in race in the Western Conference. We'll do that right after the break. Welcome back to Inside the Green Room. Harrison Sanford, sure. Danny Green. You guys know the vibes. All right, Western Conference, as it stands right now, the sixth seed, the Dallas Mavericks, a half game up on the Phoenix Suns, who did get a win on Wednesday night against the Denver Nuggets on the road, but it should be noted that Jamal Murray did not play. Eighth seed, Sacramento Kings. They are 1.5 games up on the Lakers, who are the 9th seed. And where it really gets spicy is the battle for the 10th seed. Golden State Warriors have a 1-game lead and the tiebreaker over the Houston Rockets, who are absolutely surging. 10 straight wins. 10 and they also are, for the betting folks out there, They are 14-1 against the spread in their last 15 games. They are absolutely killing right now. They're a good bet. The betting market's going to change on them now, the way that Jalen Green is hooping. Danny, as it stands right now, I think this is actually how the West is going to shape out. With the Dallas Mavericks being the sixth seed, they get to play the Sacramento Kings again. So I think they stay in that sixth seed. I think the Sacramento Kings will be the 8th seed. They still have, they don't have the hardest of schedules. They still have a lot of familiarity on that team. And then the 9th seed, I think, will be the Lakers. They'll come close to the 8th seed, I believe, but I still think they'll be the 9th seed. Also, there's a report that Gabe Vincent will be available to play this weekend. I don't know how he fits in, especially since they got Spencer Dinwiddie, but Gabe Vincent is coming back to the rotation at some point. And then I do think it, and then I think the 9th seed ends up becoming the Phoenix Suns because of the Phoenix Suns' ridiculous stretch to end the season. Yes, they won Wednesday night against the Denver Nuggets, but I don't think they can sustain that type of effort for 10 straight games, particularly against the competition that they're going to be playing against. And at the 10th seed, I think the Warriors hold on to it, especially if they're able to win next Thursday's game, April 4th, against the Houston Rockets, which will be in Houston, which would set up a spicy matchup in a winner goes home 9-10 matchup between the Suns and the Warriors. I think that's happening. And I also think you get the Lakers versus the Sacramento Kings, which I think the Lakers will win that game and solidify themselves as the 7th seed. And then you'll have either the Suns or the Warriors taking on the Sacramento Kings for that last play-in spot. How do you think the West breaks? That's how I see it. How do you think the ball breaks?
So let me get that straight and get that clean of what you're just saying, because I think you might have messed up the numbers of seeds to start.
So
I do one more Dallas time. Dallas is at where? You said Dallas is going to match up with seven. So they're at 6.
So
they're in. They're locked in. And you're saying Sacramento at 7.
Yes.
At 8, you got the Lakers. Then you got Suns at 9 and Golden State at 10.
Yes, and I had the Rockets just missing it.
I And yeah, I might agree with that, but the way the Rockets are playing, man, I don't see Golden State getting in the way. I said the last.
So you don't see them. You don't see them holding on to that last play-in spot.
No, I mean, I have to look at the schedules. I think the Rockets have the easier schedule. They've had the easier schedule over the last 10 or so games.
The big win
against OKC. They had a big win against OKC last night. Mind you, minus no Shea, so I get that. But their schedule might be a little bit easier than Golden State's. I don't know. You could.
I can tell you. They both have relatively tough schedules, but they both of those teams have, I would say, 5 winnable games remaining on their schedule, or at least last time I checked, this time last week. I think the schedules are very comparable. I think it really just comes down, honestly, Danny, to that head-to-head matchup for between these two teams. And when the Rockets end the season, they end the season with the Clippers. Will the Clippers be playing for something is key. Will the Clippers try to hold on to that 4 seed, or will they have enough distance where they won't need to play their guys and they'll be locked into the 4 seed? That will be huge in terms of the Rockets' chances of getting to the play-in.
Agreed. And I think you have it right now. But I think something's gonna happen. And obviously the league wants to see these all these teams at least in the play-in. And the Rockets have been playing really well. It's hard to count them out and not get that 10 seed by the way they're playing. And for some reason, I think just the words of Draymond saying he don't care, give a damn about the Rockets is going to bite them back. They're going to bite them in the ass at some point. So I think that could be a switch up. But I do like Sacramento being in for sure in it. And I see the Lakers being in it. And Phoenix is still kind of up and down. They got the win they needed yesterday. I think the teams that end up missing, one of the teams that end up missing, I don't think the Rockets will make the playoffs, but I think they'll be in the play-in. I think the teams that the Lakers will be in it, Sacramento will be in it, and I think either Golden State or Phoenix might be out. One of those two teams are going to be out, and I think it might be Golden State, man. I don't know if they're going to be in the playoffs. They might be in the play-in, but I don't think they'll be in the playoffs because of just how things have gone. And they're just so up and down, wishy-washy, injuries. They need Wiggs and Clay to step up. And Draymond, you know, the small issues. This is one of those years for them. I just don't see it coming together at the right time.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun watch for the remainder of the season. As it currently stands, Danny, it feels like we're going to be locked into a Clippers Pelicans 4-5 matchup. That's how it feels. Where it gets interesting is the top 3 seeds and who else they might play. As of right now, it would be the Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Dallas Mavericks. I like that matchup because what I don't want, Danny, I don't want the Timberwolves to be the 3 seed and play the Dallas Mavericks in the 6.
In the first round, want them to match up with Denver at some point.
Timberwolves are one of my favorite teams. I love watching Luka and Kyrie. I don't want to see Luka knocked out early, and I don't want to see Ant knocked out early. So I'd rather see the Timberwolves take on a team like potentially the Sacramento Kings or the Phoenix Suns. I want to see them advance. And then obviously at the number 1 seed, which is right now the Denver Nuggets, they could play anybody from the Lakers to the Suns to the Golden State Warriors to the Kings. It's going to be interesting to see how it all falls out. Here's how we'll do it. If you were the Denver Nuggets, currently in the number 1 seed, name me the one team in the play-in race that you don't want to see the least.
The team that I don't want to see, if I'm Denver, is probably the Lakers. They probably gave them the toughest matchup last year, and they have very similar group.
Timberwolves did.
True. I mean, by the numbers.
You're talking about the play-in teams.
Yes. And also, you're talking about by the series. So by the series, Timberwolves gave them what? It was a 4-1, 4-2?
It was a 5-game series, but each game was close. They swept the Lakers.
They did, but I thought they had some close games with them as well. So I think matchup-wise, and out of those 4 teams, it's probably the Lakers. AD, Bron, Rui, those guys, you know, play well in the playoffs. D'Lo, they have a lot of weapons and more experience. The other teams, I think, are still trying to figure – Phoenix is still trying to figure it out. Sacramento is a little bit younger still. They haven't gotten over that hump yet to be a serious playoff team. And Golden State is just – discombobulated. So I think you're pretty safe with those other teams. I think the Lakers are the team that is dangerous and that could probably get you in the first round. So that's the team I would want to see the least.
Yeah, and the Lakers, again, should be getting Gabe Vincent this weekend. If they can get Jared Vanderbilt as well, I think the Lakers are definitely a team that people need to be worried about in that Western Conference. All right, that's it for our show today. We got to wrap it up. People are busy, but make sure you catch Danny on the Jump on Thursday. You could also catch him over the weekend covering the NCAA tournament with Yahoo Sports. I am, as usual, on Stadium Network, 3 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, so catch me later on throughout the course of this week. And then I will also be on ESPN Radio this Sunday night, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern. Tap in with me. Let's get this money, y'all. See y'all next time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Read, rate, subscribe, review. And also, don't forget, we have The Throne happening, High School National Championship. Yeah. You can get your tickets at thethronehoops.com. Tap in. Said I'm a Yahoo ESPN, but read, rate, subscribe, review. H, I appreciate you, brother. Good luck this weekend with your picks. And I'll be covering. I'll be watching my boys. So
let's do it. Yes, indeed. Enjoy the game, Danny.